Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all people. I'm Melissa Enoch DeBerry. I'm a licensed clinical addiction specialist. And the show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, Charlotte and Burlington, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, NC, 28206, and 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. The phone numbers are 704-333-2446 and 336-675-0075. And it appears this morning we've got a bad connection. I hope that you can hear me. I'm usually in transit when we do this show on the weekends, and this morning I am not, and so this is a different experience. This morning I would like to just wanted to give honor to God and just want to say thank you. Thank you for keeping us safe through the storm on last weekend, and thank you for helping us to rebuild and getting our homes and things back in order if they were in disarray. And thank you for just keeping the families as they are continuing to dry out and clean out their homes in South Carolina and other areas that were hit by the massive storm on last week. The storm has now moved on and cleanup is possible. And interestingly enough, we just want to thank God just for giving us the ability for wisdom, knowledge, and instruction. And this lesson or the information I wanted to give today, it seems relevant enough. Throughout the storm on last week, I made a mention of not realizing there is a river, the Hall River, that runs through Alamance County, and it meets up down the river. I think it meets up with the Tar River and the like, but it is a river that individuals kayak, and there are rapids in it, and it says that it is one of the most treacherous rivers in order to whitewater rafting and things like that because of the layout of the river. And when we were in our drought that we are no longer in, the river had gone all the way down. There were some other areas and lakes. As I traveled back and forth from Alamance County to Mecklenburg County throughout the week, I crossed over several rivers, Hall River being one of them, the Yadkin River being another one, and then there are other lakes and ponds and the like. And when you look at the differences between the way that the rivers look when there was a drought and the way that they look now, they're dramatically different. And one of the things that I noticed is with the Hall River down at the very bottom, or the areas, probably not even the complete bottom, but you could see huge, huge, huge rocks. And now you can't see them at all. And last week, when there was flooding, they were completely gone. And so it makes all the sense in the world why they say that, in some areas that the river is more treacherous than others, because you have the water that is going over those rocks. And maybe it rushes it along, or whatever the rocks do to the river as you go down. And you didn't see those last week, and you still don't see them now. Since we're not in a drought anymore, you may not see those again, but it was interesting that I saw them. Because in planning for we do a weekend edition of Talk with Trinity and a weekday edition, and by me being a licensed clinical addiction specialist, I deal with individuals who are dealing with several stages of alcoholism and addiction. And it's not unlike any other disease because there's an onset. You know, there's, you may have a history, it may be genetic, but then there's an onset. There are symptoms that are seen in the beginning stages. There are symptoms that are seen in the middle stages. There are symptoms that are seen in the latter stages of the disease, and recognizing what those symptoms are. This week, I made an analogy that when you go into a doctor's office and you describe to the doctor that you have, you know, a headache and fever and, you know, the different symptoms that you might have depending on, you know, your feet are burning or whatever. Whatever the symptoms are, you describe those to a doctor. And if it's your general practitioner, he has a general idea of what it may be. But if it's an area of which he does, a general practitioner is general. So if he believes that you need to go see a specialist for other work, then he makes a recommendation based on your symptoms. And he'll treat you initially, and then he'll give you a referral and make the suggestion that you go to someplace else. And doctors make a pretty good amount of money. They also go to school for a good amount of time. Counselors are similar in that when individuals come in, they're speaking of the symptoms that they have, the alcoholism and addiction. And we are, as counselors, originally general practitioners because there are general things that you see when a person has symptoms of alcoholism, withdrawal symptoms, tolerance, things like that. But then as you become more specialized in different areas, then you begin to recognize the other symptoms, and then you get a referral to a specialist, which becomes a licensed person, a licensed clinical addiction specialist, a licensed clinical social worker. Then you have an even greater specialist, a licensed professional counselor, psychologist, or psychiatrist, which on the doctor level, but it is the same idea. Of course, counselors don't get paid as much as doctors, but they should, because when you go in and you describe your physical symptoms to a doctor, he treats you physically. When you go into a counselor, the counselor treats you mentally and emotionally. But this morning's lesson is drawn from the Matthew's chapter 12:29-30, and then that's your spiritual condition. And then God is the psychologist, psychiatrist, everything, all things. And we simply point you in the direction in which to go in order to find total healing. And as a counselor, what I've learned over a period of the last few years, that many of the individuals whose counseling theories that we practice underneath were atheists. So when they created their theories, proved their theories, and these theories began to be set inside of the general books and then even more specialty books for counseling, it didn't point in any type of a direction for total healing. It simply lists the symptoms and give a diagnosis and offer a level of treatment in order to live with it. But it never went as far as to say, what do I need to do to be saved? And as a Christian, it makes it a little hard, but I greatly appreciate the information, which is basic tenets of Trinity, education, enrichment, and enlightenment. It is just good to know what the education is and what surrounds the symptoms and the diagnosis of an addiction and alcoholism so that we can give this information, so that I can give this information to the clients and let them know that there is a value both in having this knowledge. Here are some suggestions or recommendations in order to be able to live with the disease and live a life more abundantly. But here is what you're going to need in order to make it on in with it, so that you don't relapse and so that the disease will stay in remission. it becomes a spiritual condition. And the verse that we said, Matthew 12, it says, how can we do that? What needs to happen in order for a person to be saved? And if we turn to Matthew 12 and we look at what it says, we just read it straight from the Word. It says, let's see, the beginning part of it starts with, but Jesus knew their thoughts, because when the Pharisees heard what Jesus had done, I had to go on up further. It says, one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and the mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, which is the ruler of the demons. But Jesus was like, hold on, I'm interjecting that because it says, but Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, they said that this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. So there, they say, I'm looking in the concordance, it says a Philistine deity. And Jesus knows he's the Son of God. He knows that they've been asking these questions. He knows that they're trying to confuse. Right there, the enemy is saying, okay, well, they're discounting him being the Son of God. They're attributing to him his behavior or his way to be a son of David. And he must not know how to do it, but except by the ruler of the demons. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. So if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? So that doesn't make any sense. So if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And this is the scripture. It says, or, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not scatter with me scatters abroad. He goes on further and says, therefore I say unto you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. And then he goes on to say, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. What tree is known by its fruit? This is a good start to a good lesson. And I hope that individuals will read. I hope that you'll praise for God. As we'll just pray right now, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We just thank you for the opportunity to listen and learn. We thank you for the wisdom, knowledge, and instruction that comes from your word. We thank you that you give us this scripture of Matthew 12, 28-29, and that you will help us to know how to use this information in order to help us to live our lives and help others, if that is what we do. Again, my name is Melissa Enoch DeBerry. This is Talk with Trinity. We do a weekday edition Thursday, 8 to 8:30. You can call in 347-945-5924. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please don't hesitate to email me at melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com. And God, we just thank you right now. Pray for our safe travels and pray for keeping us safe throughout the weekend. And have a blessed week in the Lord. And again, this is Melissa. Have a good day.